Good morning. This morning I felt a little cold, and before I came to chapel, I took two aspirins. So I hope that it is Holy Spirit who captured me to speak, not the aspirin. When we ministers to decide something, we often rely on our mentors. When I was about to decide of my future, amazingly, God allowed one of my mentors, pastors, to reflect on what God is preparing for me and for my future. The pastor told me that everyone has two windows. Every Christian have two windows. One window, we can look at the past. When we look at the past, we rejoice and we thank the Lord how He has been kept His promises in our life. The things that He provided, the things that He protected in all of our life. But when we are deciding of something, we always have to look at another window that will show your future. The future you do not know, but you will see how you will walk the ways that God is preparing for your life. At the end of that window, you will see Jesus standing and welcoming you and asking, "What have you done for me on earth?" He continued, "It is not what you have achieved on earth. It is not the degree you earned from universities. It is not the size of the church that you ministered, but it is how you faithfully served the Lord, places where He called." That little story reflected in my life as I decided where I'm going. As some of you know that I have different options, and some of the options sound and looked very nice and kept the promise of my future. But when I hear that story, I was looking at me standing in front of the Lord and hearing the words, "What have you done in your life for me?" And I was not sure how I can answer if I follow the path that was offered in different ways. Well, I'm not sure how that relates to the message for today. Apostle Paul was writing to the people, to his people in Philippi, that he was encouraging all of us to stand in front of the Lord and telling that what you have done for the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18, shall we all stand with me as we read the word of the Lord? Shall we read responsively? "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do everything without complaining or arguing, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Please take your seat. As you read those scriptures, that Apostle Paul was encouraging those people in Philippi that you have to work and run the race, that I may not boast what I may boast at the last day of Jesus Christ, that I have something to the Lord. I preached the same message the last Sunday at the second anniversary of Rowena's Community Church, and I delivered the same message that as Paul delivered to the people in Philippi. There are 3 points that Apostle Paul was mentioning. Amazingly, he started with the words, "My dear friends." So these are the 3 words that I like to tell you before I leave. Maybe this becomes not only Paul's words to the people in Philippi, but my words to the seminary. First, Apostle Paul was saying, "My dear friends, continue to work out your salvations with fear and trembling," in verse 12. Well, it's very sorry to my four children that I used that illustration again. A few days ago, we were in a rush preparing them going to school. We are decided to pray before we go to school because we felt that we are too rushed, that we do not prepare ourselves before we go to school. They're half sleeping, and I felt it is not good. So my wife and I decided, okay, let's pray like 2 minutes and have a Lord's Prayer to keep our day strong in the Lord. We did like first day, very good. Second day was good. Third day was good. I think it was the fourth day. We're kind of late and hurried. Then when I was driving out, I realized that we did not pray for the day. And I regretted myself. Ah, it shouldn't be like this. So I asked my children, "Let's pray while I'm driving before you reach to the school." They start praying and they cited Lord's Prayer, but for me it was not that satisfactory to the Father. Well, maybe it is very hard to satisfy your Father when you pray like a children. And I felt something wrong in me. Then I really scolded my children. "You do not feel the greatness of our Lord, our God, who created heaven and earth. You do not feel our God with fear and trembling. How can you call a children of God?" I'm talking very calmly, but at that moment I was mad, and I said, I said sorry to my children, "I'm sorry." But something that I felt, it's wrong. We pray with our words. We cited the Lord's Prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, but we take it too much granted in our life. "Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything you give me. Amen." The moment we start the prayer, we are anticipating the end of the prayer because we are busy doing something for our life. Maybe the scolding is not for our children, but for me. Well, because it was father's fault, it was parents' fault that the children are not fearing the Lord as it should be. 2 days ago, we had a celebration at Rowena's. There was a city mayor came up. Surprising that the city mayor, Janet, came and everybody was standing up, trying to shake their hands. Even the city mayor came. We are so trembled, fearful, bringing our respects to the city mayor. But we are standing in the God who created heaven and earth, you and I. Then how can you become so casual that your prayers is meaningless? It is the way that God is scolding me. What are you doing there? Aren't you think that I am so meaningless that you can just pray without that meaning in your life in that moment? One pastor told me, old pastor, and he said, entire of my life, I prayed and I read the Bible, but not until today, I do not realize how fearful our God is, that I am so trembled at this moment because I am standing in front of our God. Brothers and sisters here at the seminary, the first out of three messages that I want to leave to you is that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling because we are standing in front of the Lord. No matter what you are, no matter what you do, what positions you have or will have in the future, if you do not have that fearful and trembling mind as you stand in front of the Lord, it will be meaningless. Apostle Paul continued to the brothers and sisters in Philippi, saying that, you brothers, please keep your life, become blameless and pure, in verse 15. He knew that the life that the people in Philippi lived is so wicked. It's so wicked. He knew that what are the problems that the Philippi church had faced in the time. There was a division of those people. There are some people who are so rigid, talking about Moses' law, that we have to have a circumcision, not only in your heart, but also your body. Otherwise, your salvation is meaningless. Other people coming up that, no, you have to pray. You are not prayerful. You are not religious as I do. This is not just a problem in Philippi church, but it is the problem that we are facing in our daily life, in your churches. The division or divisive spirits in our church is so immense that we sometimes do not know what to do. Because Apostle Paul knew what was going on there from the pastoral reports from the pastor came from the church, that he was writing purposively that you Christians, you believers of Lord Jesus Christ, you follow how God came to earth as a flesh, be blameless and pure. In every corner of your life, in this wicked society that you live and minister to, in my life for 16 years, as a student, as a minister, pastor, professor at the seminary, I kind of sensed and analyzed my preaching that I was so emphasized of God is holy. But I kind of missed out that we should be holy, and I am holy, because I was not quite sure that I am really holy, as our God is holy. I was kind of reluctant that we have to preach that you should be holy. Why? Because I'm not sure if I'm really worthy to speak that I am holy, or you are holy, or you should be holy. This is the problem of this church that we are living in 21st century. We are losing the power of holiness in the church and in our life. That we are reluctant to speak about holiness in every corner of our message. Why? Because we lost the trembling and fearing heart as we stand in the living God. And we do not believe that the work of the Holy Spirit will transform you and become making you as pure and blameless. I've been reading one of the pastor's journal. I'm not sure if you know him or not. He was born in 1901, and he died in 1933, at the age of 32 years old. In his devotional journals, is being prepared for the publications, and I am so deeply moved as I read a page of his journals one after another. In 1929 in Korea, where there was nothing, he was still contemplating and proclaimed that God is living God and we should be living a life of holy. A Methodist pastor who gave up his life for the Lord. I wish I could preach more about holiness, more about being a life of holy as a pastor or as a follower of Jesus Christ. God is holy, and He's urging us to be holy, not by our power, not by our own knowledge, not by our degrees that we have, but by the power of sanctifying grace of our God. How much are we longing for receiving the power of holiness, power of Holy Spirit, to sanctify us, make us blameless and pure in our life? This is my one wish that I ask for the Lord. Make me blameless and pure in the presence of the Lord. This year, the season of Lent started from 2 weeks ago, Ash Wednesday. God miraculously woke me up and told me, go and pray. And I decided, because my time is not long, then I decided to go to Rowena's church to pray for them for the season of Lent. So I decided to go there at 9 p.m. through 10 p.m. Then I pray for the church. And I think that was the only thing that I could do for the church in the best way. Day by day, night by night, more and more I pray. I sense the working Holy Spirit touching my heart and telling me, be holy. Live a life of a Christian, blameless and pure. I don't want you to become a great evangelist. I don't want you to become a great scholar. I don't want you to become a great church planter, but I want you to become a holy, blameless, and pure. When you stand in front of me, it is amazing that God restored the spirit and tell me what to do when I move into Thailand and working for Myanmar churches. He is telling me that you go out and tell them, be holy because I am holy. What can be more powerful than our holy God when we are planting God's great churches in those countries? When I hear those churches, there are Nazarene churches in those two countries, Thailand and Myanmar, stopped church planting and their membership decreased. What is going on? These two churches, these two countries and the churches and Christians, how can we face the Lord when we go to heaven? When we hear the words, what have you done on earth for me? As I decide and contemplate of the words of the Lord every night, this is the second words that I want to leave to you. Become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, disciples with blameless and pure heart. Apostle Paul continued that you hold firmly to the word of life in verse 16. Well, when I was about to prepare our living, we are kind of full of thought. What kind of things we have to bring? What things that we have to ship? Maybe we have to ship a big container because we have a lot to ship. We think that we should not spend some money to buy those things because already we have here. So it's cheaper to ship things that we have over here. When I look at my library, in my office, and I look at all the books from one side over the other, oh, these books I'm so proud of. I have to bring these books and I have to teach them by words for words. But when I pray, God told me something different. You leave out everything. Behold the life, the book of life. I don't understand what that means. But as I pray again and again, I remind when Dr. Cunningham was preaching, Dr. Melba Magai was telling to the missionaries coming up, you should bring your suitcase only 20 kilos. That is very significant for me at least. And I kind of relate the ideas. Instead of bringing all the things that I have, God is telling me to leave out everything, but to hold the word of the eternal life. It was not easy, but it was not that difficult when I understand what God was telling me. So I decided to donate almost all the single books I have to the library, because I have only 20 kilos in my suitcase. Terence was keep asking, are you sure? Are you sure? Whenever he asked, no, let's think about it. In my mind, I was saying that, but I firmly believe that the Lord is telling me what to do. It is not the knowledge that He is planting those churches in those two countries. When Apostle Peter was called and named as Peter, Jesus Christ named him as the solid rock of his church. Not because he was a doctor of communications or doctor of philosophy of something, but because he gave himself to the Lord 100%. And I am exercising. What else do I have to give up to follow and give up everything 100% for the Lord? My wife and I still struggled. No, we have to bring these books for our children. Can you just ship a 1 cubic meter only? A little 1 cubic? But I am still praying, is this the Lord that you allow us to bring? Or 20 kilos only? Well, do not misinterpret. Then some people were liberated. Okay, we should not finish our assignment. And I don't need my seminary education. I probably go home with a liberated mind, because Dr. Kwon said you leave all the books and the whole behold on the Holy Spirit. What is more important in the life of seminary is that we 100% give ourselves to the Lord and rely on how God rules over us and our life. I am being asked many things from my friends. What will you do in Thailand? What will you do in Myanmar? Will you become a seminary Bible college president? Will you become a director of something? Or become of something? But God is asking me to leave out everything, but to follow the word of life. The only book that I bring when I move is I wish and pray that it is the Bible. Then it is the living word of life that can transform and change the people's life in the mission field. Churches are dying. Churches lost their spirit. Churches do not know what to do in the coming years. They are so panicked. But it is not only our church. The churches, when the Apostle Paul was ministering, their same spirit going around. And Apostle Paul was telling the three simple principles that you should behold. You have to revive your spirit with the Lord that is so trembling and fearing. And you should restore the sanctifying power of Holy Spirit to become blameless and pure. And you should hold and depend on the Word of Life that is everything for our ministers to follow. When you do so, I will be very happy. And I will have something to tell when I go to Jesus Christ. And this is my commitment, that I work for these three things from now on and until I go to see our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the three words that I want to leave you as a farewell message. And you will remember me. Yesterday, Dr. Natz shared a devotions. And she played a video that was really touching my heart. And I want to close my sermon with that video. I can't watch the video again because I will be crying. I was crippled like this. But our Redeemer carried me. Run the race. It is now He calls me to carry the crippled church and the people who need Jesus Christ. And He's asking me to run the race, having the crippled people. I don't know. I don't have any power. I don't have any strength. But I know our Redeemer will make us, you and I, to run this race. And we will see each other when we are standing in front of the Lord and say, this is the race that you and I have done. For benediction, I want to read the commitment of Pastor Lee Yong-do when he decided to follow Jesus Christ. After a long wandering, I finally found my way. From now on, I will run this way with all my heart. My joy is there. My hope is there. To some, it may be easy or difficult to find this way, yet I have spent half of my life in vain for nothing until I come here. I am more than joyful that I came to find the way, not even later. The way I found is the way that Jesus passed through. Without any doubt, but with faith only, I will follow His way. Others may slander against me, saying, you are old-fashioned, or out of date, or a dumb, but I am not mind. I will take it as the best honor for me, because it is the compensation for following Jesus Christ. I confess that I have not lived my life, but others, until now. I have been afraid how others will think of me and look at me, but now I have decided to be the perfect, so-called a dumb Christian. I will be crazy about loving my Lord, yet I will not be done only through my effort, but through Thy effort. No longer would I live my life seeking after the compliments for all the worldly success, but I'm in reality being helpless in my deeper heart. My life is not helpless anymore because I surrender and follow my Lord. O Lord, please allow me to follow only you, no matter what obstacles I would face. August 23, 1929. Shall we pray? Our Lord, we thank you for the time that you have gathered us together and remind the message you have given me. It is our prayer and commitment to follow Jesus Christ only. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, our God, and the communion of Holy Spirit be with us all forever and ever. Amen.